Everybody here. Oh, great. Okay. Good job. I want to introduce myself again. I'm Dale.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk about, well, I shouldn't say today, following the manifest presence of Christ, we're going to talk about taking authority. And I'm using the passage from Matthew 18. So if you have your Bibles, or I would have a pencil ready because you're going to be taking some scriptures down that are outside of your book. But in Matthew 18, something very significant. There are some chapters in Scripture that are just very, very potent. Romans 8 is a very potent chapter. Matthew 18 is a very, very potent chapter. So let me just walk through what happens in Matthew 18. The beginning of Matthew 18, the disciples say, well, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, essentially? And Jesus takes a little child. And I put the scriptures together, and I really am, this is a little bit me, puts the child on his knee. But he brings the child before him, and he says, unless you become like this child, right? And so these are scriptures coming together. Unless you become like this child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. But secondly, right now in Matthew 18, he's saying, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is like this child. Now, if you've ever had, most children, there's always an exception, right? Most children, when you see them and they're young, they are completely accepting of your presence. And they are completely receiving. There is like nothing in them that would want to reject you. It is like the most wonderful feeling. Because as you grow older, you have relationships and there's tensions and you have difficulties. But with children, they just want to hug you. So Jesus starts this by saying, listen, there's something about the kingdom of heaven that has to do with being right in my presence and receiving everything about me. It's what John just talked about. Now, using verse 10, and then coming back to the next part of that, Matthew 18, this is essentially what Jesus is saying. Somehow, in some way, when these innocent little babies are born, they have a connection to my face. Because their angels see the face of my Father. Now, I don't want to set us off on some kind of wrong salvific thought, okay? What God is saying there is that I've created every single baby in the womb, and I've created that baby to have a relationship with me. Now, guess what? Anybody who does anything to destroy this relationship, it would be better that they had a millstone tied around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. That's how powerfully Jesus feels about those who ruin this relationship with the Father. Well, we know the relationship with the Father is ruined. Thank you, Adam. But guess what? If you were in Adam's place, you would have done the same thing. Now, Jesus starts moving that conversation by saying, listen, I look at every single person as a sheep. And a shepherd who has 99 sheep is not satisfied until he finds that one. And that's you. That's you. Because what he did is he turned over heaven for you. Now that sets up the rest of the chapter, because it's really all about us being in a place of unity with God the Father. Now we say this chapter is about church discipline. It's really about church unity. And not just church unity, unity with the Father. So this is what Jesus now moves into the conversation. He says, listen, if there's anything between two brothers, I have made a way for you to bring that into unity. But it's not just about you agreeing to something. It's about you being one with me. When you are in unity with yourself and with me, then guess what? Heaven is there. Heaven is there. And this is territory. So you don't, do you know what page I'm on? I don't even know what page I'm on. Thank you. Page 33. So God wants every local church to learn to exercise their authority in Christ to bind and to loose. And that is based on these verses from Matthew 18. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I tell you that if two or three on earth of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. This is about Christ's presence in unity. And this is what the church should be. And it's probably what the church is not. But that's why you're here. Our mission statement at the College of Prayer is to mentor, train, and equip pastors and Christian leaders to reach a lost world through a revived church. If your church isn't vibrant, we're not going to reach a lost world. The College of Prayer does not exist for itself. It exists for the church. All of us, we do not get paid. All the people you've seen here don't get paid. Our SLT, by the way, I don't know if we introduced everybody from the SLT when I wasn't here. No, because I wasn't here, right? We don't get paid. What you guys pay for this is what we basically use for expenses, and that's how we operate. Because this isn't about making money. This is about bringing the Church of Christ together and activating the things of God. So we're going to talk right now about binding and loosing in about two or three. Now, this is really unique, this two or three thing. You know, you say, oh, well, you know, in English it's two or three. This is really what's happening in the Greek. Two, you and your brother that I just talked about, and then three, which is God. So, number one, agreement is not just agreeing not to be in an argument. So coming to some kind of agreement is not what we're talking about. We're talking about agreement with God. Our Father, who is in heaven, who is hallowed, who has a will and a desire to bring heaven to earth, in agreement with Him. Now this is very, very important. Because I've gone to church where nobody talked about this. And then I've also gone to churches where it was used in a crazy way. And I'll just say it, a crazy way. Now, we have to get this right. So, I want to give you a little illustration. My 2017 year, let me say it, let me come back to the illustration. Let's say that you are part of a congregation and you get together in prayer and you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to redeem the nations. He does. If you start binding and loosing, Satan, get your hand off the United States. The Lord wants the United States to worship Him. Satan, get your hands off. I bind you from touching the United States. What you have just done is you have opened up territorial spirits. This is Ephesians 6. To go after you. And guess what? Your pastor. And guess what? His wife. And guess what? Maybe your family, maybe your church family. And I have been at prayer meetings where, you know, if you think about a spear, like a fishing spear, I mean, they're like all these all over the place, and it is like opening up territorial spirits. Now, this is what Satan wants to do. He wants us to be distracted from what the Lord wants to do with you right now in your territory. So if I can just use that, if you get the point, then I can start talking about your territory, because God gives you territory. And it's only in that territory that you can bind and you can loose. So, pens ready? You cannot bind without God's word. If you're going to bind and loose, you need God's word. You need to know God's word. You need to be in God's word. You cannot bind and you cannot loose without God's word. You cannot bind and you cannot loose without unity. So whoever you're with, you need to be in unity. And you can't take them to wherever you are. You have to let the Spirit of God bring the presence of Christ so you know that you are in unity. Thirdly, you cannot bind and you cannot loose without the presence of Christ. It just won't work. And then lastly, you cannot bind and you cannot loose without territory. God's got to give you territory. Now, I'd like to use a couple verses from Scripture to illustrate this, and I'm using Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, this is what happens. It says, they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. This is what Jesus did. He stepped on the land. He stepped into someone else's territory. How do I know? Because this man came up to him. And what does that tell you? That Jesus stepped into a place where all of a sudden God was giving him territory. Now, without walking through the whole scripture, because you know the story, think about how the story ends. Jesus frees the man. From, what's your name? Legion. Why is it legion? Because we are many. Jesus frees him from the legion. And don't ask me about why he sent the spirits and the pigs, because they asked him, because I don't know. I honestly still don't know that answer completely, except for they were unclean. But look what happens. The man comes after Jesus. Jesus, I want to follow you. Let me go with you. Jesus would have loved many of the others that came up to him with the same thing. And he would have loved them to say, yes, I'll give up my riches and I'll follow you. I'll forget about my father, burying my father, and I'll follow you. But guess what he says to this man? No. Go back to what? Your territory. Go back to your family. And then it says, he didn't just go back to his family, he began to declare Jesus to the whole city. If God has given you a territory, you will know it. When you have a territory, like Jesus gave this man, you can bind and loose. But you got to be in your territory. Now, territory isn't just where you step. So what does that mean? That means where you drive, where you walk, where you live, where you worship, where you don't worship right now, but you're going to worship tomorrow. Those are territories. Well, I love the rest of this passage. And not that I love what happens here, but Jesus is approached by a man. His name is Jairus. And Jairus says that my daughter is sick. And why I like this story is because it actually talks about territory that God gave me. If you go to the Emmanuel Cemetery in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, you'll find a little gravestone of my daughter. And her name is Talitha. Because in the Greek, what Jesus says is Talitha kum. Little girl, arise. Now Jairus experienced his little girl rising. My experience was not like that. But I'll tell you a little bit about my experience because it tells you about my territory. We had just given up everything, sold everything, sent it across country because I was going from a secular field at the age of 40-some to go to seminary. We packed up in a little motor coach and started driving across country. I had four children, and my wife was pregnant with my fifth. So we went from Wisconsin, had some fun in Yellowstone, went up to Mount St. Helens, drove down the coast so that I could enter seminary. Within 3 weeks, one night, my wife goes, you know what, I'm bleeding, I think something's wrong. And something was wrong. And trying to figure out health insurance when you didn't have it before and trying to get it was difficult. We actually didn't even know we had health insurance, but we just said we got to go to the hospital and we don't know how this is going to be paid. So we went to the hospital only to find out that our little baby was not alive anymore. Now, since we never had experienced it at this level, I think she was 22 weeks. I'm not sure. You can talk to Lori later. I'm not going to look at her right now. When the nurse said she doesn't have a heartbeat, so it's a longer story than that. You have to take care of this baby. We couldn't believe it. So we went home. We went home, and my wife didn't just cry, but she basically petitioned me to pray life into this little baby. Now, I grew up in a very strongly legalistic Baptist background. I don't even know that we necessarily believe that miracles happened. So this was quite a stretch for me. So I plead with God, probably with very little faith, God, save my baby. God, save my baby. God, save my baby. For a long time, he didn't save my baby. Thank you for the compassion of other people that gathered around us, and they took her, they held her, they waited till we could have a service, and we had a service in March of the next year. But here's the territory that God gave me, and Lori. He gave me a connection to anybody. When I hear somebody say, I've been praying, and it's not happening, God gave me a territory to bind and to loose with them. When I hear that somebody has lost a child, God gives me territory to bind and to loose. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be about a baby, but he gives you territory. I do have children. God gives me territory with children. I live in a house. God gives me territory with a house. I'm in a church. God gives me territory with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And today, we together have territory because we are one in Jesus Christ. Let me make a real practical example. This is what happens with the Spirit of God when the manifest presence of Christ comes. So we were following John, and honestly, I didn't even know how to follow John Otto with the message that came. And when I'm going, man, how do I do this? And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? We need to bring everybody forward. And Dan comes over, and as soon as he said, I'm thinking about I see us coming together on the fire. I just said, go with it. Because it was the Holy Spirit confirmed, this is what we should do. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what the presence of Christ reveals. You do know that when we talk about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's only one God. They don't work in different ways. The Holy Spirit doesn't do something without Christ and without the Father. This is why two or three together can bind and loose. Binding and loosing. So some practical things, and then I have one other place to go, which I think will be very valuable for you. Oh, okay. So this is really taking authority 101. Okay, there's other levels of this, so don't go, oh, well, I can find an exception to what you're saying right now. Okay, this is just like 101. If you want to think in simple terms, listen, I'm fighting something that I can't see. I know I'm fighting for something. Get in unity with somebody and then bind and loose things that the Spirit of God is giving you. And usually, binding is holding back something that Satan is trying to do, and it's loosing something that God wants to do. This just comes from the Lord's Prayer. Loosing from heaven what he desires to come to earth. Very practical. You bind poverty, you loose provision. You bind illness, you loose health. You bind death, you loose life. You bind curses, you loose blessing. You bind bondage, you loose freedom. You bind darkness, you loose light. You bind hate, you loose love. You bind violence, you loose kindness. Da, da, da. You bind apathy, you loose mission. Okay, but don't take this list and go, well, let's see what I got to do, okay? Because if you're in the Word of God, the Word of God will prompt you for the time when you're with other believers to bind and to loose. So I would like to, by the way, do you know that Jesus, the anointed Christ, binds the brokenhearted? Okay. Well, this is, I would like to share with you an area that I'm going to try to show you territory. So as churches, we need to understand that churches are a vehicle of Christ to reveal his love, number one. This is just John 17. But I would like you to show you how the ministry of God in your own person and in the Godhead gives you a template for territory with people around you and in your church. This, what I'm going to show you right now, is not mine. And, this is from Dr. Andrew Mercurio. Dr. Mercurio is now a professor at NIOC. So I'm giving you something here, and just bear with me. What he says is that there are three basic needs. And you have to forgive me here because my SLT didn't realize I was going to. There are three basic needs that every child has, and that means that you had them and you still have them. Three basic needs. They are to belong, they are to have worth and value, and they are to be competent or capable. Three needs. Belong, have worth and value, and to be competent or capable. Now, I want to give you a moment right here. I'm going to give you like 90 seconds, a couple minutes. I want you to process with your family when you were young. Did you feel like you belonged? Okay? Were you worth something in that context? Were you given worth? Did you feel worth? And lastly, were you shown that you were capable? Okay, I want you to just process that right now. Whether it was a single family home, two parents, when you were a child, did you feel like you belonged? Did you feel like you had worth? Did you feel like you were capable or competent? And you can even write them there on a piece of paper if you're writing this triangle. Now, we have one very powerful illustration of a family. Because Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and John baptizes him. And this is what happens. Pardon me, I'm using the NIV. For the illustration. This is my son. He belongs to me. In whom I am well pleased. Now, had Jesus done anything? A little bit. He had a relationship with his father in his father's house. And that was the extent of his existence, whom I'm well pleased. And what's the last part? This is my son, in whom I'm well, whom I love, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm already jumping to number three. Yeah. Whom I love, that's worth. Whom I love is worth. It's because I don't think in the NIV, this is off of the NIV, and I'm still, you know, King James, right? So this is my son, I belong, whom I love, worth, and then lastly, in whom I'm well pleased, he hadn't done anything. He's competent. Now, if whatever you were thinking about your family, this is, I'll tell you what I thought about my family. Did I feel like I belong? Yeah, I felt like I belonged. The meals were on the table. We'd go up and go places, and I went with my family. I belonged. And then I had to process, well, what was my worth? Now, in our family, we didn't use the word love. And honestly, you can show love without saying the word love, but the truth is that the word love is powerful when it's really love. Very powerful. Because as a child, you need to hear it. It was no accident that this came verbally from heaven. And I had to think to myself, you know what? I don't know necessarily that I had worth unless I did something. Or something happened. This is my son, whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased. And I still remember to this day, my mother, and I'm sure she was having a bad month and a bad week and a bad day. And I have to tell you, I mean, I don't know about you. Today this would, I think my kids know this, but I don't talk about it anymore because they would just laugh. I did not take my clothes out to put them on until seventh grade. You know what that means? My mom every day went into my drawer and pulled out my underwear and pulled out my pants and pulled out my shirt. And I remember why it went till seventh grade. Because in sixth grade, she said, "You're old enough, you can do it." So I took my favorite pants, the green ones. And I don't remember what color my shirt was. I just remember the green pants. And I came out and she said, "Get those clothes off." So she took my clothes off for another year. But my mom in this one day, she grabbed me by the ears and she shook me and she said, "Isn't there anything between those two ears?" See, those things hurt. And they aren't forgotten.
Right.
Now, I don't know how you answered this. I don't know how you answered this. But I want to show you how God the Father has moved into these needs for you. And then I want to show you that God has given you territory for other people who have had the same experience that you've had, for you to share the Father with. Why? Because if you think about belong, the Father, ugh. The Father is the one who gives us belonging. He's the one who adopts us. He's the one who says, I want you. Romans 8, 15 through 17, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be also glorified with Him. And worth and value. What did Jesus say? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I belong, and I have worth, and I'm giving you that worth. That's John 15:9. Abide in my love. Now, if you don't believe that this is what Jesus did, let me give you a fact. When you were a little ugly, a little dirty, a little unclean, God showed, demonstrated His love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Now, I really had a hard part with that competent part because I do remember that when I got good grades, my parents thought I was competent. Most of the time, I didn't get good grades, and they didn't think I was so competent. And when I did something that wasn't very competent, they completely let me know that I wasn't competent. You ever had that experience? They had no idea what they were speaking into regarding how I was thinking about myself or how I felt connected to them. But this is what the Spirit of God does for you. He dwells in you. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that this God's Spirit dwells in you? That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now this is the empowering thing. You didn't do anything for this. And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. I am making you competent. Territory. So the next person, next time that you see a person, and I know this is where the Spirit of God wants me to go because all week I've been battling these thoughts. Well, that person doesn't look beautiful. I wouldn't want them in my church. Can you imagine that? Sure. So what do I have to do? I have to confess it, right. And then I got to rebuke it.
Right.
Now, sometimes we see that happening in our churches. We had this happen in California, the beautiful place. Everybody's beautiful there. And everybody smiles. And they all talk like they're your best friend. So we came to this church as from a different culture, Wisconsin. And there was a needy person in the church, and Lori wanted to reach out to her. And they had some people gather around and say, well, we'll take care of that. Don't We'll protect you from her. Now, I got to say, we are messy. We're all messy. So, territory. In the church, we need to see as Christ sees. When we bring the presence of Christ, then we can say, you know, with that, with the one person that I just was giving the illustration of, my goodness, there are things that God wanted to see her be free from. But you can't do it unless you're together, and you can't do it unless you bring the manifest presence of Christ for that time and that person in that event. Okay, so God gives us territory. I wanted to expand that because territory is with people. Territories with people. And territories with relationships. Territory is also with spaces, and I will give you one more example of that. Lori and I, by the way, my wife is a walking miracle. You may not know this, but when she was, let me count this now. 24? When she was 24 years old, she was in an accident that basically was going to make her neck unable to be used for the rest of her life. She was laid up for a year, could not hold her head up because she was hit from behind in a car accident. Why did I just say that? Because that was not where I was going. I was talking about territory. Ah, okay. So, we walked through this accident, and if you think that it's easy to get some kind of a claim out of an accident like that, it's just not. But basically, we squeezed out of that. I mean, she was laid up, and thank God, her ligament, which was totally destroyed, God healed her. God healed the ligament. She still has residual damage. But for the doctors were saying, well, this ligament is, it's like a rubber band that has no elasticity. The rest of your life, we're going to have to do something else. After about 6 months, she finally came to church, and she had to bring pillows so that she could sit and then rest her arm on pillows and hold her head up. So finally, after we got our little bit of money, which was about $12,000, I believe. Again, you can ask her for the details. We bought this plot of land outside of Milwaukee where we could afford it. So for $80,000, we bought 10 acres in a very old house. And when you go into a place, like a territory, like a house, there may have been many people that lived there, and all kinds of things could have happened there. When we did the home inspection, we went in the basement, and there's bark still on the trees that were holding up the first floor. I mean, so they'd hewn off the top, and the bark was still there from the 1800s, whenever. And the man said, well, you see those little holes there? Those are the post hole beetles that came in an infestation in 1948. And this was 1994. So we bought this house and we totally gutted and remodeled it, and that meant living in a trailer behind our house and working on it for 2 years. And we had Lori's stepsister's father come and help us, and he'd come out every weekend. And one day he said to me, he goes, you have a ghost in your house. Now, he's not a believer, but he was freaked out because we slept in the trailer and he'd come and work and he'd just sleep in the house. He was freaked out.
It wasn't the Holy Ghost, I guess.
It wasn't the Holy Ghost, right? And so we had to claim some territory. Wow. I don't know what went on in that house, but we had to claim some territory. So we just painted it with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's territory. Now, territory with your children is a little more difficult, and this is the last place I'm going to end today. Territory with your children, territory with your parents. I have elderly parents. They still somehow think I'm 12. I mean, they're talking to me, a 60-year-old.
We need to bind you.
So number one is, if you can ever get an agreement with your children or your parent, man, manifest presence of Christ. Who can do that? I've had a hard time doing that. So then where do you go? You go to the next body. So for me, it's Lori and I. And honestly, we feel Satan. You know, there's times when we want to pray, like I want to pray something, she wants to pray something else, she doesn't quite agree with what I want to pray. I mean, you can see Satan doing the little stretching and pulling. But when we agree, oh, it is powerful. And it moves. Territory moves. It moves from opening one area to the next area, to the next area. And you need that. When you have three teenage girls, you need that. Okay, so let's just, so what we'd like you to do is process in your gap groups. Binding and loosing. So number one is, there are things that got us stirred up in this weekend. And please, be mindful of other people. So don't tell a 20-minute story and then have everything about you. So this is kind of like, but it's very important for you to be able to share something that you feel like God wants you to bind or to loose or to see him infiltrate that territory. God's given you territory with other believers today, right now. So use that territory. So what I would like you to do is just think about something really you want God to break, you want God to see God come into, and we want you to practice binding and loosing. Now, first of all, before you get crazy with the binding and loosing, worship God, come in prayer, and then listen for the Spirit of God. Okay? So before you jump out and say, oh, we have to bind this and loose this when someone shares something, listen a little bit to the conversation and hear for someone else to confirm it. Then you know that's where to go. That's when you bring the presence of Christ. So I'd like to activate that right now. And I don't know, Cal, if we have, do we have pizza yet or not yet? It's going to be
12:30.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to break into your gap groups and we'd like you to start this. Sometime in the middle of that, we will come in with some pizza or we'll ask you for an order and we'll take care of that one way, shape, or form. But we want to start activating this right now. Lord, we're asking, did you want to say something, Cal?
Go ahead.
Okay. Lord, we'd like to activate your presence right now. You have given us these small groups. You've given us the confidentiality and the trust in these groups. You have things among our people, which we need to see you move in. So right now, we're asking that you would activate your presence, that you would bring from your Spirit promptings to show how to pray. And right now, we are just binding anything that would be of ourselves, anything that would be of religiosity, anything created in the church that's not from you. We just bind it in the name of Jesus Christ and we loose the revelation of Jesus Christ which comes through your word. So speak right now. Speak right now. Speak right now. And even in the hearts and the minds of the people, have them bring up to the surface one thing that they need to see you work in. Activate. Activate. Activate the kingdom of God for you and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.